The views and opinions expressed within this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, advertising partners, or ownership of Forever Communication. The It's All Good podcast, hosted by Lorraine Gossett Jones, sponsored by Baptist Memorial Hospital.
This is Lorraine Jones with 15 minutes of good news. You know, I was listening to a radio program the other day, and they were talking about lost skills that people can't or don't do anymore. I thought it was really interesting. You know, people don't read a map anymore. They don't know how. A lot of people can't do simple math in their head or make change. And you know what? People don't write letters anymore. It's a lost art. People, if they want to tell you something, they text or they email. But you know what? I love to write. I write. I write notes. I write. If I hear a quote, I'll type it up and I'll put it on my bulletin board at work or on my desk. If I hear something on the radio or somebody says something, I'll write it on a napkin. I want to do something with that later. I write ideas down. I journal. I have books after books of sermon notes through the years. I write women's Bible studies. You know, in school, I was that nerd that I would write my own term paper, the dreaded term paper at the end of the year. I'd write mine, and then somebody'd be crying, and I'd write theirs. I just like to write. So for this podcast, I wrote all my thoughts down first. And you know what? As I finished it, it ended up being a sort of a love letter to my husband, which towards the end, it gets that way. So I started out by writing down what my life was like before I met my husband, Alan. And if you've listened to any of my podcasts before, you know that I had a tough start in life. I had a childhood where I suffered abuse and neglect and often felt unseen and unheard and sometimes unloved. And then in relationships as I was older, many times I felt unappreciated and used and deceived. And now these troubled relationships were sometimes due to my own mistakes and bad choices, but many times problems were at the hands of another person. And so I experienced divorce and the financial struggles that can go with that and single parenthood and then had some scary things happen where, you know, both of my children were diagnosed with cancer, one in 2007, one in 2020. So, you know, I was in my late 50s, and I wasn't really dating much. You know, when you live in a small town and you're over 50, the dating pool is very shallow. So I wasn't dating much, and I was pretty lonely. Now, at that time, you know, I had a lot of things to do. I had a full-time job, busy. I ran a nonprofit cancer agency, busy with that. I had a very close friend group. I sang in the choir at my church. I taught Sunday school. I had a lot of things to do, and I kept myself busy, but I didn't have anybody to share my life with. My kids were either in college, and Tommy was in law school, and they were making their own way, and I didn't have anybody to share things with, and I longed for that. And you know what? I hung on to God through all this loneliness. We talked a lot. I prayed a lot. I remember specifically one night just praying and actually crying myself to sleep and just praying that God would bring someone into my life. Somebody, I just wanted somebody normal, I would say, or nice. And I remember that night just giving it to Him and saying, God, you know who I need. Bring Him into my life. And I just knew that He had something wonderful in store for me. I just could feel it. Now, I've read and heard about people who had a tough start in life or a career, but they were blessed with a strong and wonderful finish. People like Henry Ford, who was broke five times before the birth of the Ford Motor Company. And then Walt Disney, you know, we read that he was fired from a newspaper editor because he lacked imagination and had no good ideas. He went bankrupt before founding the Walt Disney Company. And then Albert Einstein, he couldn't even speak until he was four. He couldn't read till he was seven. And, you know, even though his parents and teachers, they thought he was mentally handicapped, he went on to change the face of modern physics, and he won a Nobel Prize. You know, people that struggle somehow become warriors. They gain skills. They gain knowledge. They gain courage to persevere, and they never give up. One of the best examples in the Bible of a person who went through something like this is Job. The story of Job is a perfect example of that saying, sometimes bad things happen to good people. Job faced unimaginable loss. He lost his family. All of his children were killed. He lost his livelihood. All of his oxen, his sheep, his donkeys were stolen, and his workers were killed. And he lost his health. He was stricken with a sickness that produced painful boils all over his body. Now, despite his despair, Job remained faithful. In the midst of his pain and sorrow, he reminded himself and everyone around him that even so, God is good. Job 13:15 says, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. What he's saying is, even if he takes my life, I will trust God. Now, after the Lord restored Job's losses and gave Job twice as much as he had before, he gave him twice as many livestock as he had before, more children, and he blessed Job with a long life. Sometimes the harder the struggle, the sweeter the victory. Yeah. So this doesn't sound like a love story so far, a love letter so far, does it? Well, I'll get started on that part of it. But in 2016, I was serving on a committee at church with a couple named Pete and Penny. As we got to know each other, they told me that they had a friend named Alan that they wanted me to meet. They thought that we would really hit it off. And they talked about him every couple of months. You know, we'd meet as a committee every couple of months. They talk about him, but they never really set anything up for a whole year. So a year later, in August of 2017, Alan and I went on a double date with Pete and Penny. And they were right. We really liked each other, and we started dating immediately. We had lots of dinner dates, movie dates. We went to concerts. We were just getting to know each other. Now, after dating for several months, I kind of felt like Alan maybe just wanted to be friends. You know, he never used any words of endearment with me. He never called me honey or sweetheart or anything like that. And, you know, he still wasn't taking me to certain functions that I thought he should have taken me to. And, you know, one time he even introduced me as my friend Lorraine. So, you know, I thought, well, he just wants to be friends. And I had serious thoughts about calling it off. And then we could just be friends. And then one day in October or November, I don't know, it was starting to get cool. He called and said that he was going to grill out and build a fire in the fire pit. And would I like, you know, to come over? So I did. And we had, you know, great food and the fire pit was on. We had music playing. We were sitting close together and we were talking. And his little cat was rubbing up against and snuggling up to my feet. It was all very romantic. And at one point in the evening, he says, baby, don't get too close to the fire. So I scooted back and I thought to myself, oh my gosh, he called me baby. Maybe he really does like me. And then later on, he said, baby, be careful, don't knock the glass over. Wow. He called me baby two times in one night. I was on cloud nine. He really does like me. Maybe this is all going to work out after all. Well, later in the evening, I just casually asked, "What's your cat's name?" And he said, "Baby." He was talking to the cat all along. I wanted to laugh and cry at the same time. So ever since then, the joke between us has always been to call each other baby. And it's been a sweet reminder of the first time that he inadvertently called me something endearing. But when that happened, it gave me a chance to kind of break the ice and talk to him about the fact that I need to hear those kinds of things. You know, those words of affirmation, if you know about the love languages. That's another podcast, maybe. He just wasn't used to showing affection to somebody in that manner. But he's great about it now. Everything is fine. But we've been together for 7 years now. Now, this man that I prayed for, he is kind, he is gentle, he is smart, he is patient, he's funny, and he is good looking too. And I thank God for bringing him into my life every single day. Our story kind of reminds me of the scripture in Joel chapter 2, verse 25. God says, "I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten." Now, a locust is a grasshopper-like insect, and they tend to form these large swarms that move around, and they can be frighteningly destructive, consuming and destroying everything in its path. In the Bible, plagues of locusts are often used as a symbol of evil forces, and locusts are also used as a metaphor for the plagues on people's lives. The things like divorce, deceit, brokenness, abuse, the devastation that those things can have. People and circumstances can take a toll on your life. Now, you can't actually get the time back, of course, but God promises to restore the years that the locusts have eaten, and that your bad experiences can be turned into love and hope, compassion, wisdom, and joy. He can give us fruitful years as a compensation for those in which the locust ate. I have a friend, Michelle, who's gone through some of the same experiences that I have, and we talked about this scripture just the other day, and she actually has this scripture on her wall. I asked her what that scripture meant to her. And she said, "When things in life don't go the way that I planned or the way that I hoped for, I just keep walking in the will of God, and He will replace and double what I've lost. He'll replace heartache with joy, contentment, and peace." You know, when I think of that scripture, I think of ServPro, you know, that company that comes in and cleans and fixes your house if you've had a flood or a fire. You know, I looked them up, and under their name, ServPro, it says Restoration Services. They are in the restoration business too. And their tagline is, "Like it never even happened." That's the way that God restores. Like it never even happened. When He restores, life will be so good, it's like the bad stuff never even happened. That's the way my life feels. Life is so good with Alan, it's like the bad stuff never happened. So in 2021, at the age of 59 and 62, I won't tell you which is which, Alan and I got married. We got married in the church that Alan has been in since the day he was born, with just a preacher, a friend playing the piano, and Pete and Penny. I wrote something for Alan that I read to him as we said our vows. Of course, I wrote it down, and I'm going to share it with you. I'm not sure I've ever shared this, except with a few. And this is what I said to him on that day. Many songs and poems are written about a person's first love, first date, and first kiss. It used to make me sad to know that I couldn't be any of those firsts for you. I used to think of all the things we've missed out on, and I wished I could turn back the clock so I could find you sooner and love you longer. But I've come to realize that I may not be your first love, your first date, or your first kiss, but I get to be your last everything. You know, first love is many times also young love. And young love is often selfish, foolish, and self-centered. First dates are nerve-wracking and uncomfortable as we try to impress the other person with every word we say. First kisses are usually awkward at best and can even be downright disgusting. But we've been so fortunate to have wonderful friends who introduced us later in life. And as I looked in the mirror this morning, wishing I could be a younger and more beautiful bride for you, I was reminded that we could be blessed with 30 more years together. And as we grow older, this last love will be strong, patient, kind, and focused on the other person's happiness. Our last dates will be fun and comfortable with no need to say things to impress the other. In fact, sometimes no words will need to be spoken at all to know what the other is thinking. Our last dates will have you holding my hand to help me navigate the stairs. I'll lend you my glasses so you can read the menu. We'll pack for adventures and remind each other not to forget extra contacts, Advil, Tums, and our blood pressure pills. And someday, I pray many, many years from now, when one of us closes our blue eyes for the last time, the other will give them a last kiss to help escort them into heaven. No, I may not be your first love, your first date, or your first kiss, but I want to be your last everything. Thank you, God, for restoring my life, for restoring the years that the locusts have eaten. Thank you, Alan, for restoring my faith in men, in people, in love, in goodness, in respect, in trust. I love you, baby. This is Lorraine Jones, and you've been listening to 15 Minutes of Good News, sponsored by Baptist Memorial Hospital.
The It's All Good podcast, hosted by Lorraine Gossett Jones, sponsored by Baptist Memorial Hospital, delivering the promise of quality health care.
At Baptist Memorial Hospital, Union City, we wish you good health, joy, and peace as we celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Serving our community in a Christ-like manner is our calling, and we strive daily to create an expert system of care in the Mid-South where love abounds so that God can do the impossible. Our commitment is to continue mirroring the threefold ministry of Christ, healing, preaching, and teaching as we care for your loved ones. On behalf of all Baptist team members, we wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.